Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Josh.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, Josh.
Today is Friday, October the 10th.
Your birthday?
It is, in fact, my birthday, yes. Today I am old.
One more trip around the sun.
Yep. It is not quite noon o'clock, and it's about time for us to do a place-by-place fishing report here. So, I think we should do that. What do you think, Robert?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Excellent. Before we get started, do you have any beginning words of wisdom that you'd like to start with?
We got our first cold front coming.
Okay. What do you think that means?
It means that fish are going to start to move.
Move?
Mm-hmm.
Like, move to New York? Move to the Bahamas?
Nobody
move around
moves
in
to
circles.
New York.
People do move to New York.
Nobody moves
they
to
do.
New York.
They do. I'll look up the statistics while you're telling me what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Tell me how many have moved out versus how many have moved in legally.
Tell me what's going to happen with the cold front.
It's going to start to get those fish to move into the harbor. It's going to pretty much end the summer mediocre rainy season. So the salinity is going to start to rise in all the canals, which will bring those fish up closer. It'll take a few weeks because it doesn't happen overnight, but this is that big change that we were looking for to get fish to really start getting active. And the other thing is, some of those fish, like snook for example, and redfish that are around in pretty good numbers, feed heavier because they're trying to build up that winter fat reserve that they need, because they become more lethargic as that water cools off, because they, especially snook, or what they call subtropical, so they don't like cold weather by any stretch. Mm. So their feeding pattern changes and slows down a little bit, but they need that fat reserve.
Wait just a minute, because we were talking about New York just a moment ago. Tell me what cold weather is.
Cold's relative to where you're at, not where you're from. Once that water temperature dips into the 60s, those fish almost go dormant. If it happens to hit in the 50s, it can kill them. So, there's certain times of the year, like January, when we get some exceptional fronts that come through and we get some much lower tides where the sandbars are exposed, those fish get landlocked in certain potholes. It can stun them or kill them. So, that's
and
what happens.
The cold that we're talking about might not be cold to you at all.
No.
Doesn't matter. It's cold to the fish.
Yes.
The fish are from here.
Yes. We don't care that you're from New York or whatever. Just the fish are here. You don't catch snook in wherever. You catch them in Florida.
Well, and in Costa Rica.
Well, that's also tropical.
It's pretty warm there.
Yeah.
So, as far as people moving into New York, the 2023 data is the most recent we have. 302,000 people, moving out, and moving in, and 481,000 people moving out, resulting in a net loss of 179,000 residents. But that doesn't mean people don't move to New York, because 300,000 people did.
They bumped their heads.
Not saying that I want to move to New York. Not saying that I understand the mentality that wants to move to New York, but I'm saying that people do.
Mm-hmm.
This says that some of that is people moving back in after having left during the pandemic.
Or moved in after coming to Florida because we were free then. And
could have been. Could have
or
been.
Or are they counting the illegals?
I don't think they're counting.
I really want to start that.
Illegal immigrants, because illegal immigrants are notoriously difficult to count. I'm sure that there is some legal immigration that's encountered in that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of asylum seekers end up in New York.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call that.
That's legal immigration.
Sure.
Peace River, Harbor Heights, and upriver along with Shell Creek, Robert.
I couldn't even get you started a little bit. That was fun.
Sit here and argue with me on my birthday.
Yeah, get you riled up. Mm-hmm. Make sure your heart rate's still fine if you're ripe old age.
Yeah.
Peace River is still extremely slow. Nothing happening, no reports.
But as these cold fronts come in,
it'll get better. We're still about a month away before you start to see it increase.
Okay. So, for now, this is the normal pattern. This is exactly what we expect, that it's still slow.
Yes.
And just because you had a cold front doesn't mean that it's going to suddenly turn on up there and get amazing.
Yes.
Right?
I threw an ice cube in a hot cup of coffee. It totally changed everything.
Takes time.
Yes.
All right. So we expect that the first few places on here is not going to be the greatest reports. But
correct.
We'll just find out as we go on. I-75 bridges area? Okay, so the US 41 bridges, how's that?
Terrible.
Okay.
A couple of small mangrove snapper, a couple of very small snook. There has been some ladyfish, the occasional Spanish mackerel mixed in with those, and a couple of oddball trout mixed in with them.
Okay.
The surprising part is no tarpon mixed in with those ladyfish that I've heard of. But several different days, people have been seeing the blitz going on down there at the bridge, both driving over it and fishing from boats. So there's activity there. It's just not the quality or the exact species most people are looking for.
Right. Well, and that moves up and it moves down.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just stay there at the 41 bridge.
No.
Although, when it gets there, sometimes it hangs out there for a little bit because the bait's like, hey, look, piling, someplace that I can hide, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get eaten anyway.
Yep.
The Lashley Seawall. Any reports over that away?
No report over at all.
Fine, then. We just won't mention anything. The Bayshore Pier and the Port Charlotte Beach Pier are still closed.
Thanks, County Commissioners.
Spring Lake Park.
Been very quiet over there. Lots of catfish. They have been getting some sand bream, though.
Lots of catfish, a few sand bream, and not much else, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Okay. The Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals.
Mostly the same thing. It's been pretty slow in there. There's been some snook, all small. Lots of sand bream moving around.
But, Robert, it's snook season.
Yeah, well, good luck finding a slot fish. It's pretty difficult. been a lot of small mangrove snapper, quite a few Mayan cichlids. What else we got going on? That's about it.
Okay. I'm guessing the Mayan cichlids are probably bigger than the snapper.
Yes. Yes, there's been some 10, 12-inch Mayan cichlids being caught. I just want to know when there's going to become a commercial value on those instead of sand bream.
I'm sure they do have commercial value if the guys net enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't gather up the same way that the Mojarra do.
Right.
So they don't...
You mean they have to work harder at it?
Well, it's harder to get a bunch, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. I get it.
All right. The Eljabeen Bridge?
Oh, let's see. There's been a few snook there. Mostly small. One guy did catch a legal fish off of there that I heard. He ended up letting it go because he's like, I'm just catching it for fun. What the heck was it? It was only like 28 and a half or something like that.
Okay.
He also caught a couple of trout, like 15, 16 inches. Some very small snapper. He saw juvenile tarpon rolling around. And saw a couple Spanish mackerel out in the open, free jumping.
Okay.
Because he was fishing off the seawall underneath the Port Charlotte side. He walked all the way over there. He parked over at the car wash.
Okay. All right.
Which is the only spot where the cops have not been giving anybody a real hard time about.
Right. We fished underneath there, not for very long, just briefly, because the folks I was with live a little bit upriver from there. And we were fishing chunks of ladyfish around the pilings, and I told them, look, we're probably not going to do a whole lot here. We're pretty close to slack tide, and it's bright and sunny out, but... just to show you the places and show you what it's like and the techniques to do it. So we had baits down there for a little while, and one of them ended up hooking into a pretty good-sized snook. We did not get it into the boat. It ended up cutting the line just above the leader, so I'm not sure if it wrapped around the gill or if it had abraded it on a rock down there or on one of the pilings. But that fish would have been either in the slot or just above it.
Yeah.
So, decent sized fish.
There you go.
They're there.
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Just got to make it happen.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the Myakka River area from the bridge down to marker 8.
Got no reports from down there or in the cutoff at all.
Fine, then we won't put anything. How about the South Gulf Cove canals?
I think that's been terrible. Guy bought worms the other day to go try to fish for tilapia and cichlids, but he never called me back to let me know how he did.
That sounds pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the report from last week was also terrible, so we'll just have another terrible report.
Yeah. Well, if I don't get any reports on it, what can I say?
I hear ya. Now, this is the part where things should start picking up just a little bit as we move into the west wall.
Mm-hmm. It's been slow this week, but there has been some redfish and snook up underneath the bushes. A guy skipped a few pompano running along the inside of the trough. They were on the outside of the bar. Couldn't catch any because he went back to try.
So they were on which side of the bar that the pompano were at?
They were kind of on top on the outside of the bar.
Okay. Let's call it the outer edge.
Yeah. Been a few small sharks over there, some black nose and bonnet heads guys are seeing, and some baby bull sharks. The black nose the guy caught, but he said it was the only one he could catch out of the dozen different fish that he saw.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Fine then. It's last week's report was redfish, snook, pompano, and sharks. So, very consistent.
At least it's consistent.
The K-Pays Bar. Anything over there?
Flipper's been really bad over there, so the couple guys that tried to fish it for the ladyfish and Spanish mackerel that were on the outside of the trough gave up after their second ladyfish and first Spanish mackerel.
I see.
But nothing on top of the K-Pays Bar that they were aware of.
Okay.
Lots of mullet getting into preschool activity over there.
All right. I like that. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Turtle and bull bays.
Same thing. Lots of mullet in there. Getting all preschooled up. And then under the bushes, snook and redfish. Definitely the main thing going on in there. Some very nice redfish. A lot of slot-sized fish.
How about the snook? Any in that keeper range?
Nah, most of them are small.
Okay.
Then there's been a handful of trout mixed in there. Most of the trout have been small. So you're working pretty hard at it to try to find a legal-sized trout.
Okay. Shrimp or?
Shrimp is one of the main things, but a lot of guys throwing artificials like little spoons and paddle tails. And if you want redfish, pinfish is definitely the key answer for them.
Pinfish.
Pinfish or small spoons. Both seem to be working well, but if you want numbers, pinfish is better.
Pinfish. Which, you don't have any pinfish.
No, we do not. We no longer have a legal source to buy them from.
So, go out and catch your own is what you're saying.
Yep.
Sabiki?
Sabiki, cast net, or a pinfish trap.
Pinfish trap. Hide your pinfish trap.
Yeah, good luck. Seems like people are looking for them.
They are looking for them. But get a dark-colored one, not a bright, shiny one that they can see sitting down there on the bottom. Dark-colored trap sitting on grass that's just a little bit deeper where they can't quite see it sitting down there, and hang it underneath a beat-up crab trap float. Not a fresh, clean one. Beat one up. Rip some chunks out of it. Roll it in the dirt. Spray paint it 3 different colors.
There you go.
They'll leave it alone. K-Pays and Danger Reefs area.
Some Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
And then a few small sharks.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, then that's all I'll type. Gasparilla
Sound. Several other people have told me that they at some point removed the cans from off of Cape Hayes Reef.
Did they?
Yes, somewhere around May or June is when they disappeared.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they had really, really good reasons for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Gasparilla Sound.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's actually one of the better places to be fishing right now. All through from Devilfish, Three Sisters, all the way up to the Trestle, there's trout, ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, all out in that 3 to 7 foot range. And then along the bushes and some of the flats, there's redfish and snook. And an assortment of different sharks, from bonnet heads to bigger bull sharks. One guy hooked into about a 5.5 foot lemon shark fishing the flats in there with his pinfish. Said he'd watch it come right over and eat it.
That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. He said it lasts about 30 seconds.
Yep.
Enough to push a big wake and then break them off.
Yeah. So we were in this area yesterday. We did not do very well over at Three Sisters, which we had just slid over. We were over by Sandfly.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to show you another spot right over here where you can easily get into. You got plenty of depth. And we went over there and we fished. And we had caught, you know, not amazing, but we caught a bunch of trout and some ladyfish and the occasional lizardfish while we're over there by Sandfly. But Three Sisters, we did not hook anything.
Really?
Same bait, same techniques. We went shallow, we went deep, we went on the edge of that drop where the channel is, and nothing there. Nothing up on the grass flat. I was a little surprised by that. But I was even more surprised while we were over by Sandfly that we hooked two sharks, a bonnet head and an Atlantic sharp nose, on DOA soft plastics.
Which is really weird.
And they weren't snagged. They ate it. They both hooked right in the corner of the mouth.
That's really weird. You don't hear bonnet heads doing that almost never.
No.
It's more common in the Keys. Why, yes. I have no idea, but it is.
And I've caught sharp nose before on artificials twice. I caught one on a spoon that was with you and Robert Moore, and I caught one on a lip plug. I don't know if that one was actually trying to eat that lure, but he was hooked in the snout. So he may have been fouled, just snagged as it went by, but I think he was trying to eat it because of where he was hooked. But these two, there's no question about it. They were hooked right in the corner of the mouth, which is how we were able to catch them on 30-pound fluorocarbon leader. Which, you know, having a weird thing happen out there, weird things happen. That's just the way it is when you're out there on the water. But having it happen twice in 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
That's almost as weird as having a 100-year record for storm surge broken by a hurricane and then have it broken again 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
That's very weird. Very strange.
In case you hadn't noticed, I was making mention of Helene and Milton, which are the hurricanes last year that trashed our piers, which if you want to go take a look at the piers, you can see they're still completely trashed.
Yeah. So. Thanks, Charlotte County.
Just
thanks
more,
for nothing.
One more dig. The Placida area, the pier, which
that doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. The
thanks,
Trestle,
Charlotte County.
Coral Creek Pier, which does exist. No thanks to Charlotte County. And Gasparilla Pass. What's been going on over here?
Mangrove Snapper starting to move back in there. Some guys are starting to see some remnants of some sheep's head moving around.
Remnants.
Mm-hmm. It's just getting started. It ain't even close yet, but it's time to start getting ready, I guess, for it.
You think the spear fishermen are going to be down there at the Trestle again this year, shooting them all up?
I'm sure. I'm sure they will be. Let's see. There's been some snook there. Spanish mackerel. A few tarpon. People are seeing them, not really hooking them, but they're seeing them. And then some bigger sharks have been cruising through, too, that they've been seeing. And there also has been some pompano throughout the Trestles and the channel heading out through Gasparilla Pass.
Okay. That doesn't sound too bad.
No, not too
bad. Sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on down there.
Yeah.
I like it. Brings us into Lemon Bay.
Oh, Lemon Bay. The only thing I've heard about it has been there's one school of redfish somewhere in the miserable mile that a couple guys have hooked into.
We looked for them yesterday. Didn't see them.
Yeah. And then there's been some ladyfish and some trout up in there, more closer to Stump Pass. Other than that, I got nothing.
Okay.
Even with the Inglewood Fishing Club reports, nothing.
Right. We would talk about the Anger Pier if we had one.
Yeah, no thanks to Charlotte County.
Moves us out to the Gulf, bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
Into the Gulf, really? It's been pretty windy, so
yeah,
it's been very minimal. There has been some king mackerel out there. I only heard of one guy catch one, and he was fishing up towards Venice.
Okay.
The other guy, he went out to 26 miles, 28 miles, something like that, out of Stump Pass, and he got some mangrove snapper, some lane snapper, one barely legal red grouper, and he saw a couple of barracuda free jump chewing on stuff over the wreck or whatever he was fishing. And he saw one king mackerel on his way out that free jumped and saw some Spanish mackerel around some bait, but could not get anything to chew.
We did a little bit of trolling out there yesterday out in front of Gasparilla between the two passes and did not do much. We saw Spanish mackerel jumping. We saw birds that were kind of hanging out in the area, kind of getting excited, but what we really wanted to see was some kind of group of fish together, and that's not what we saw. We saw a Spanish mackerel jumping over there, and then there's one 100 yards over there, and then there's one way back over there. So, you know, in those conditions, sometimes we troll around, sometimes we catch, but it wasn't working yesterday. We did see a lot of bait, mostly on the fish finder, mostly sitting down below, just one pot of bait that was up at the surface. But when we went back in, we went in through Gasparilla Pass, and sitting on the sandbar there were just tons, hundreds and hundreds of gulls and terns just hanging out. So that tells me that they think there's going to be activity out there, but that the activity wasn't happening just then.
Or they were full because the activity had just happened already.
Well, if it had just happened already, then it happened real, real early. Because we got out there, we left the marina. It wasn't quite sunrise yet, and that was up in Lemon Bay, so it did take us a minute to cruise down there, but it wasn't much. So if it happened, it happened literally at first light.
Right.
So could go either way.
I'm reaching.
Yep, I understand. We're both reaching on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move it on to the Venice Jetties and the Venice Pier. The North Jetty's open, the South Jetty is closed, and the Venice Pier is now fully open.
Yes, it is.
All the way.
So, Spanish mackerel at both locations. At the jetty, I've heard of one legal snook. Been a couple of big bull reds caught there. And a couple of whiting and a couple of pompano.
How big are these big bull red fish?
The guy said it was 30 inches.
Okay. So I'm going to change that to over slot instead of big bull, because that's not a big bull redfish.
It's not. But just repeating what he said, so it was easier.
I hear you. Gator trout.
Yeah.
How big was it? 21 inches.
Flag yellowtail.
2 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I am so grateful for the stuff that I've caught. PBS ran a special last night. That was pretty interesting. But they were talking about the history of the area. And from 1904, I think, 1904, 1910, they started talking about, like, the steamboats that would drag out the fishermen in their paddle boats to catch tarpon.
Paddle boats, meaning it's powered with oars. Now, yes. Don't picture a little paddle wheel on the side. This ain't no paddle steamer running the Mississippi.
Yeah, but they were dropping them off out there to catch their tarpon. Then it talked about the fishery as a whole and how it declined over the years and at different times, and went into, like, the sport fishing for snook, and then we're realizing, like, tarpon shouldn't be killed anymore, and then the net ban, and how it still didn't really help the fishery itself like they thought it would, and the mosquito spraying, because they used to do different kinds of chemicals back then, and they would notice all the dead fry or fish dying after the film was on top of the surface from them coming by spraying from mosquitoes in the 70s, and it was just interesting. They talked about the mullet and the mullet decline. It was a pretty good little show.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting.
Depressing, but
it was. But it was neat to see all of their observations of the beginning of it to kind of current. You know, the show was, I think, 10 years old when she looked it up on the TV part of it. But it was a neat look into the history and the forward motion, and what, you know, reinforces some of the stuff that we've talked about that is, you know, still continuing to happen, both good and bad.
Right.
Yeah, so it was kind of neat. Good little show to watch for a little bit, but yes, depressing, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's like you listen to their opinions and their points, and you can see that there is no one answer. Everyone wants to have one thing to blame. Oh, it's Big Sugar. Oh, it's Okeechobee release. It's this, it's that. And it's a combination of several different things without a shadow of a doubt. You know, if you want to blame one thing, the one thing is too many people. That's the only real one answer. Other than that, it's too many different things.
Yeah. But, you know, there continues to be more people.
Yeah. I'll bet you more people moved to Florida in 23 than they moved to New York.
I bet that there's no question about that.
Just saying.
That's a pretty easy one right there, buddy.
Uh-huh. No, it's interesting. I think the one thing that is still horrible that I think that they absolutely should eliminate, period, is the spraying of the vegetation in all of the fresh water.
So how would you resolve the fact that we have to get rid of some of that vegetation, or else it closes down waterways to navigation?
How would we resolve it?
Mm-hmm. So what you've got is you've got areas where vegetation grows so quickly.
I get it.
And it doesn't have anything there that eats it, that if you don't get it out of there somehow, then it's going to basically block up the water to the point that you won't be able to get a boat in there. And that would happen in large sections of Okeechobee pretty quickly, but that's not the only place that it would happen. There's a lot of our freshwater bodies where you'd have that be an issue. So what would you do? How are you going to fix that problem?
I think from an environmental standpoint, it's better for the environment to bring in those boats, that machine, pick it up and grind it up and haul it away.
Mm-hmm. But so physical removal.
Physical removal. With no question, physical removal. Because, I mean, two things. One is, okay, yes, they won't be able to keep up with it as thoroughly. So it will still grow in a lot of areas. But the biggest thing is that I see is they spray so much because they're getting state, federal grants that they got to justify their jobs, where they're spraying 10 feet up on the bank, and there's not just one video, there's multiple videos in every canal system, both in Charlotte County and our local canals to all the main river chain or lake chains, where they're spraying 10 feet up the bank, killing all of the native vegetation just to justify getting rid of 1,000 gallons a day that they're supposed to burn up in order to keep their jobs and keep their contracts.
That's what's on the quota.
You know, so getting rid of that would actually, I 100% in my heart believe that having that extra vegetation there is far more beneficial than not having it there to the environment as a whole, including the fishery. And I'm talking about just everything. It makes the water quality better having the vegetation there of all the species, the non-native and the native, because it's creating habitat for all the food items from the beginning of the food chain to the end of the food chain. It's eating up all the pollutants and poisons and toxins, using it as its own fertilizer, filtering the water system. And if you take that stuff out and remove it, it can be so beneficial for agriculture, because you can feed it to pigs or cows or horses or whatever wants to eat it. But you could also just, the composting of it. I mean, I've seen guys that have built man-made lakes on their property that end up with hyacinth in it, and they manually remove it as it builds up so much, and they start piles, and basically essentially take a sandy, crappy soil and turn it into where they're growing their own bananas, their own vegetable gardens, all out of that stuff as it's decomposing along the banks where they've removed it.
So what you're talking about there, it kind of leads me into this discussion of what happens when we spray vegetation and leave it in the water, which is what they do with it after it's been sprayed. So if you take it out of the water and you compost it and you can then grow lots of plants in it, well, that's telling us that it's high in nutrients. You're getting a lot of nitrogen out of that decomposing vegetation. If you leave it in the water, then the nitrogen still is going to exist. It's going to come out. When we talk about nutrient pollution in Florida waters, one of the big things that we talk about is an excess of nitrogen. Excess of nitrogen happens as a result of, people dumping stuff into the water. Did you pee today, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
I peed today, too. There's a huge amount of nitrogen in urine that a lot of it ends up in our surface waters. Most places where you have septic tanks, there is no treatment of that nitrogen. Some of it goes into the grass that grows on top of your drain field, but most of it trickles down into the soil, and then that groundwater becomes surface water at some point, and the nitrogen is still there. If you are on a sewer, well, then your water's going to a treatment facility. They don't remove that nitrogen here in Charlotte County. They don't remove it in most places. So that nitrogen is still in the water. You have high nitrogen levels that cause algal blooms. But you have the exact same problem when you spray that vegetation and kill it and let it naturally decompose in the water. Now you have a bunch of nitrogen that is free and loose in the water. What happens in that circumstance? Well, something's going to take that nitrogen up. And if you keep spraying the vegetation that tries to grow, then what's going to take it up is going to be some type of algae. This is the main reason why they keep having huge problems with blue-green algal blooms on Lake Okeechobee, because they spray the vegetation, the nitrogen's in the water, something has to take it up, and that blue-green algae grows fast. So you put a bunch of nitrogen in the water, it grows algae. That's an experiment that you can try at home. Just put a bucket of water outside and put a second bucket of water next to it, put a little bit of fertilizer in it, and see what happens. It's pretty basic.
Well, and the other thing that it does, if it's so abundant, you get the decomposition during the summertime with our extreme heat, it creates hypoxia and kills everything in that spot.
The chemistry of decomposition requires oxygen. So that oxygen is going to come out of the water, which means that the fish, the crayfish, everything that lives in the water,
axolotls, all of it,
now ain't breathing so good. So
baby frogs,
you're going to kill all of that stuff. But you know what? You can still grow blue-green algae and other vegetation like that in very low oxygen water. It's got no problem with that. So you still end up with the pollution problem and without all the other life that would have gone along with it. So yes, I agree with you, Robert. Mechanical removal is the only sensible solution. The reason that they don't do it is because it's approximately 10 times more cost-wise to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say we're going to submit the budget for FWC for this removal of this vegetation that we have to do, and it costs 10 times more, Well, guess what? That budget doesn't get approved. They say do it cheaper because people don't want to pay as much in taxes. If people understood the value of doing it the right way instead of doing it the cheap way, then I think we probably would be doing mechanical removal. And there's no reason why we can't keep up with it just as well. It's a matter of having the infrastructure built in and having the employees built in to do it. It's just a matter of it costs 10 times more. Mm-hmm. So people don't want to pay that. But that's where we're at.
Yeah.
If we're willing to do it the right way, then we could avoid a lot of these problems. But we'd rather do it the wrong way and then say, well, we don't know what's going on here, and then we end up scapegoating somebody. And like you said, Big Ag is easy to point the finger at. They use fertilizer, and fertilizer is nitrogen, and hey, it's nitrogen in the water. It must be them. It's not me. It's not anything I'm doing. It's not anything that the state is doing. It's them. They're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's how a lot of human nature is. We want to point to somebody else and say, them, they caused it. They're the problem. It's their fault. It's not us. It's not me. It's not you. You and I are buddies. We're good. We didn't do this. It's their fault.
Right.
And almost always the problem is you and me.
Of course.
Not actually just you and me. It's not actually us that's doing it. It's you and me as a general metaphor for society at large.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make clear.
Humans.
It's not just me and Robert causing the problem.
It's humans.
Although, by pointing out the problem, we put ourselves up at risk to be scapegoated.
Yeah.
So.
That's fine.
Shall we move on with the reports?
Yeah.
Okay, we are to the passes.
10-minute tangent.
And was it only 10 minutes?
No.
We are at Punta Raza. What's going on that away?
We got no reports from down there.
Fantastic. Good way to kick off these reports again. Redfish Pass?
No report.
Captiva Pass?
Spanish mackerel, snook, a few redfish, some whiting right along the surf, and some pompano. The guy caught some trout also. He saw two schools of tarpon go by heading out of the pass. He also saw several different sharks.
How many hours was he down there?
He was down there 2 days in a row fishing because he stayed at the, what the heck is that, the condos down there?
Mono.
Tween Waters?
Oh, okay. Tween Waters, yeah.
Stayed down there. It's beautiful. I think that's where he was at. He spent like 3 days down there, but 2 days of it he fished. So, that's about it that I got.
Okay. And I'm guessing the Spanish were in the pass. The snook, trout, and redfish were in the general area of the pass.
Mm-hmm. He had a good time. He said it was beautiful. A little windy, but it was beautiful.
Yes, it has been a little windy, but, you know, that's been true everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, brings us to Boca Grande Pass.
Spanish mackerel. A couple guys saw king mackerel launching out there on the outside of the pass. There's been some pompano. A handful of flounder being caught along the edge of the channel on the outside. Some mangrove snapper.
Okay.
And a couple tarpon rolling.
Where were the mangroves at?
Inside the pass.
Like on the bottom?
Yeah.
Not around the jetties or the phosphate dock?
No. They were more in that middle south side of the channel where they usually hang out at.
Okay. On the Cayo Costa side in about 30 feet of water?
Yep.
And these tarpon, tell me about that.
They just saw them rolling. They didn't hook any or try to fish for them. They just saw them rolling as they were going through there.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk
they
about
the... They weren't very knowledgeable on tarpon because they asked why would there be tarpon in the pass right now.
Ah.
Because they saw them roll. I'm like, okay.
Let's talk about the beach. Surf fishing.
It's been good. Whiting, snook, couple of flounder... few pompano, jack, She caught two jacks, a couple of redfish, a couple of sheepshead, even a few trout. Because I got reports from Boca Grande, Blind Pass, Minnesota Beach, and Venice Beach. So I've had several different reports this week from multiple areas.
So that east wind has made this a lot easier. Flattens out that beach. Makes it so much simpler for you to get in there and fish.
It does.
Okay, so if you're going out to the beach, what techniques would you be using?
I personally prefer a split shot with a shrimp and just kind of work it. Let the current do some of the work for me. And I'm going to walk along the shoreline casting in front of me the whole time with shrimp. Or I'm going to even throw just a pompano jig.
Okay. Are you going to focus on that first trough, or are you going to
be
casting out? Or?
No, I'm going to focus on the first trough.
Okay.
I'm going to stay close to the shore, within 50, 75 feet at the most.
Okay. But you know, there's bigger fish the further out you cast, right?
Uh-huh.
That's
no.
That's how it always works, right?
Nope.
The farther away from the shore we cast, the bigger fish we catch?
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the instance of a shark, possibly, but...
Right.
Nope. All those other little hobber-dobbers and grocery fish are all going to be right there along the shoreline.
Now, that only works when you're standing on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
You stand on the shore, you try to cast as far out as you possibly can. If you're on the boat, you try to get as close to the shore as you can.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Did you see that bass tournament where that bass boat killed those people?
I did see the brief clip of that video. That was truly horrifying.
Pretty bad.
I said, I really hope that's AI, and then I moved on.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So.
It was not.
Yeah.
He actually got charged.
I didn't really want to look it up.
Yeah, he got charged. He was 22 years old fishing a bass tournament.
That was not a pretty video.
No, it was not.
Moving on, Matt Lachey, Indian Fields, Smokehouse Bay.
Some redfish. Another customer.
You keep saying that word.
Redfish?
Yeah.
They've been kind of hodgepodged everywhere right now. This is the time of year. If you're not hearing about redfish this time of year, there's some serious problems. He also, another guy, he saw a couple of like 3 to 4 foot lemon sharks cruising around on the flats, along with a couple small schools of mullet along the shorelines. He saw one of the lemons chase after a school of the mullet. He also got into some juvenile tarpon down there towards Matt Lachey, but he was in one of the creeks right there going into the Cape Coral canals.
Okay.
He hooked a couple snook also. That's it.
Okay. Pine Island Sound, Rat Cat Keys, Mondaga, Patricia, and associated areas.
Redfish and snook all over along the bushes. And then trout and Spanish mackerel out in the deeper holes. There has been a few tarpon cruising through the area, along with a few sharks still. Have not heard of any schools of ladyfish down there, but I would imagine that there's some happening, just have not heard about them.
Okay.
Which is actually, now that I'm thinking about it, you don't hardly ever hear the schools of ladyfish down there this time of year. I've seen them over the years past, but it doesn't seem like it's as prolific as it seems to happen inside the harbor, or there's just more information being fed to us inside the harbor for that.
Maybe.
A little strange.
Maybe. We did run into a school of ladyfish this week, but it wasn't in that area.
Right.
Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Just lots of bait.
Small bait.
Yep.
Tiny bait.
Mm-hmm.
Big enough to cast net?
I wouldn't, but most guys are.
What's the smallest mesh net you sell?
3/16.
Haven't got anybody doing an eighth yet?
No.
Okay.
I would not throw that net anyway.
Burnt store in two pines.
Redfish along the bushes. Some small snook. Pompano on top of the bar. Along with some ladyfish and a few trout.
Okay.
A couple people are seeing some bigger snook down along that area, especially closer towards two pines, but they ain't chewing. Because they are not stupid.
What would you try to make the attempt to get them to chew?
Cut mullet or cut ladyfish. Definitely wouldn't be whitebait.
No. Nope. Especially whitebait that you need an 1/8-inch net to catch.
Yeah.
Not this time of year.
Nope. Even if I had big tarpon 30s, I wouldn't be using it. I might try it, I guess.
But well, yeah. Tear them in half. Use them that way.
Mm-hmm.
The East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Redfish. Mostly all redfish. A few trout and a couple bonnet heads and a couple other little sharks cruising around on the flats there. And then quite a few juvenile tarpon inside Pirate Harbor. The snapper is starting to pick up inside Pirate Harbor also. Still mostly small, but they're picking up.
Okay. Alligator Cuck, Poachers, Alligator Creek. I got to rewrite this. I think it's the way that it's just on here. I'm gonna fix this. Alligator Creek, Poachers Cut, and the Skating Rink.
Okay. Nothing.
You made me go all through that for nothing.
I haven't heard anything through there. The one guy came when I did this talk at the Burnt Store Marina. The one guy was saying he went up in there to go eat at the restaurant, and he said he drug a lure all the way in and all the way out and never got a single hit, which is surprising.
Okay, well, that's where we had our school of ladyfish.
Inside or on the outside?
Whorehouse Point.
Okay, yeah.
Right there in right at 5-6 feet of water.
Right.
It was a big school.
Mm-hmm.
I was very hopeful that it wasn't just ladyfish. But that's all we caught out of it, so I think that's all it was.
That's where they should be this time of year.
Yeah.
Was that scum line formed going across the harbor?
No.
No?
Nope. It's too too choppy.
Too choppy, yeah.
All waved up out there.
Right.
So I'm going to put School of Ladyfish at Whorehouse Point.
Okay.
In case anybody wants to go try to find them. Ponce de Leon Park.
Nothing but a bunch of little teeny tiny snapper that people are still poaching the crap out of.
The PGI canals in Punta Gorda general area.
A lot of small snook. Some black drum. Some sand bream.
What are we catching the black drum on?
Well, that guy caught his on just paddle tails.
Okay. So we do not have to have half a blue crab?
Nope.
If you did have half a blue crab?
That would be nice.
Okay.
Just ain't gonna hurt you.
Right? And if you took your paddle tail and you just smeared the heck out of it with blue crab-scented Procure?
Better chance.
Yeah. All right. Just checking. Gilchrist Pier.
What Gilchrist Pier?
That's right. There is no Gilchrist Pier. I forgot for a half a second.
Yes. No thanks to Charlotte County.
Actually, I think that one is City of Punta Gorda.
So what?
I don't think that one's Charlotte County.
They're probably still looking for some kind of funding from Charlotte County.
Listen, we can thank the City of Punta Gorda, too, mm-hmm. for their proactivity in getting these piers back and functional.
Yeah, they're doing a great job, too.
We don't have to just thank Charlotte County for this.
That's true.
So
thanks, City of Punta Gorda.
Spread the thanks around.
Yeah.
We'd like to express our gratitude to everyone. Alligator Creek Reef, a.k.a. the Concrete Reef, the 1 Mile Reef, Charlotte Harbor Reef, the 41 Bridge Reef, or what are those things sticking up out of the water over there?
That spot. Oh, Spanish mackerel. There's been some tarpon on it sporadically. But Spanish mackerel is the one thing I've heard of.
Yeah, we caught pretty good with mackerel over and around the reef. We were trolling. We trolled with little itty-bitty, you know, 2-inch spoons, and also trolled with floating rattle traps, the chrome with the blue back. They liked both.
Okay, that's not too bad. I'll use a McDonald's straw.
McDonald's straw is good, too.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of the red cable leader material.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it up into pieces about 10 inches long, and then made a loop on both ends, did the wrap around, and then used the trick that Frank showed me a long time ago with a lighter to just barely melt the plastic down to that point. You got to be real careful with it, and don't let it catch on fire.
Yes.
Because then the plastic melts away, and it doesn't adhere
right.
anymore. Plus, it smells horrible. But just get it to the point of meltiness, and it adheres pretty darn well. And I just put a ball-bearing snap swivel on one end before I melted it down and left the other end open that I could tie a line to it. And that's what we were using. It worked great.
Nice. Notice any difference between the red leader and the other leader?
Did not try. I have in the past noticed that they seem to like a little bit of red out there better. Seems to get their attention. I have also noticed that sometimes you get cut off more with the red because they end up with that red leader hanging out of their mouth
right.
as they're swimming along with the bait in there. And the other fish in the school will come along and chomp it off.
It's that gang mentality.
It is. So I feel like you're taking a little bit of a risk, but I also feel like you're more likely to get hit.
Yes.
And you said a few tarpon rolling around?
Yeah.
But not caught?
No.
Okay. We were hoping that there would be sharks in the area, too, but we didn't find any sharks. We tried some of those ladyfish chunks around where we saw the mackerel. It had zero interest. So, let's talk about the 20-foot holes.
Been some tarpon. Some ladyfish. Some catfish.
Catfish?
Catfish.
Big catfish?
Yeah. Just catfish.
Sail cats?
Sail cats and some hardhead cats. And a few Spanish mackerel.
Okay. Alrighty. That's all right about that. Baitfish reports. Sure, the white bait, but also anything you know about threadies, pinfish, sardines, etc.
Well, I can tell you that there's pinfish and white bait down in Jug Creek, Devilfish, and Gasparilla Sound.
Okay.
And the white bait has been small to okay, depending on where you're at and how patient you are.
Small to okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be very small to medium.
Yes.
Okay.
Then there's been some thread fins offshore and a few oddball schools inside.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay. No Spanish sardines to talk about?
Nope.
No ballyhoo?
Nope.
No speedos?
Nope.
No goggle eyes?
Definitely not.
Just checking.
I haven't been able to get those frozen for like 6 months.
The freshwater reports.
4 months.
Canals, creeks, rivers, ponds, lakes, ditches, spillways, and random bathtubs that you might find with a little bit of water in them.
Well, the tilapia and Mayan cichlids mostly. Couple guys have been getting some bluegill, and one guy did catch two crappie last weekend.
Okay. I didn't hear you mention bass.
Nope. I have not heard a good report on bass at all, except for a few, like, one-pounders here and there, but...
Ditch pickles.
I have not heard of much.
Ditch pickles. All right. The tarpon reports. So, last week we talked about time running out for tarpon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the excitement that I've heard in your voice when you mentioned tarpon during the fishing reports we've been talking about just now, I'm guessing we don't have much to mention here in the way of tarpon being caught.
Very little. Part of it's because of the wind. A big part of it's actually the wind.
Because you just can't find them?
Yeah. Even with the side scan, they've been tough.
Okay.
But guys just don't want to get beat up out there while looking for them with their side scan either.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple reports that I did have, there's still some over there by the mouth of the Myakka and along the west wall. Between the west wall and the 20-foot holes. And then I heard of a school over there by Bayshore for... one day, two different people. But other than that, I'm just hearing of fish moving here, moving there. You know, we heard about a couple fish in Boca Grande, a couple fish down by Captiva Pass, and a couple fish up there by Gasparilla Pass. So I think those fish are starting to realize, hey, let's get prepared for this. So I think they're thinning out. They're definitely not going to leave because... hell, all we have to do is wait for this cold front. Next week, it might be 95 degrees again.
It might.
And if that's the case, those fish turn around and come right back into the harbor to feed on the glass minnows and the ladyfish.
Yep.
So I'm not going to call it quits yet.
What should our tarpon map look like for this week? Is there really anything worth putting in here? Or
I think the little bit over there by the Myakka with whatever the second best bet.
The yellow dots?
Yeah. And then after that, maybe a couple white ones down along the intercoastal or the passes.
Well, that's about all we're at.
Yeah.
And understand that some of that is an artifact of not being able to really go out and target these fish.
Correct.
As opposed to what the actual situation might be, which might be considerably better than what it looks like on the map.
Right.
Okay. I mean,
there's enough fish around where I'm still not giving up on them yet, so I'm hoping to maybe get out one last time for them before they leave.
Don't see why you would give up. It's not even the middle of October yet.
Exactly.
So. All right. Well, we've reached the end of the things that we have to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you'd like to go off on another tangent.
Nope. I'm good.
Have a rant?
Nope.
Anything?
Not at all.
Okay. Well, if that's how you're going to be, then why don't you just say goodnight, Robert?
Goodnight, Robert.